We would like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Lassan Le'ilu Nishmas Sheikh's beloved parents, Leah ben Abba and Leah ben Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. What we are going to do today is go back to the Mishnah that we did last week. Which, if you recall, we started the fifth chapter. And for those who weren't here, don't worry. We will recap the important parts. We still have to make up the last Mishnah of the fourth chapter, which we will do, but I figured it made more sense since we already started the fifth chapter, first Mishnah, to at least finish the first Mishnah before we went back to the last Mishnah of the fourth parak. So we're going to finish this Mishnah today, then we're going to go back next week, or the next time, I assume next week, next time we meet, we'll go to the last Mishnah of Parak 4, and then we'll go back to Parak 5, Mishnah 2. Either way, what our Mishnah today is going to be talking about in big picture is creation. Last week, we gave an overview of the first seven Mishnayos of the fifth chapter, which all deal with the number 10, and we discussed the significance of the number 10. We will briefly recap that main idea a little bit later on in this year. But for now, we're just going to go back, not necessarily focusing on the number 10 as our main point, but focusing on what the Mishnah, as a Mishnah, is teaching us. So let's reread the Mishnah, source number 1. The Mishnah tells us, Ba'asar ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. The world was created in 10 statements, 10 utterances. Uma Talmud Lomar, so that's a nice fact. Let's assume it's a fact for now. It's a nice fact. It was created with 10 utterances. Why are you telling that to me? Or, slightly differently, if that's true, what's the message? What's the meaning of that statement that the world was created with 10 utterances? V'halo b'mamar echad yachol lehibaros. More specifically, God could have created the world with one statement, with one utterance. Or perhaps we could ask differently. God didn't need to create the world with any utterances. Right? Meaning, if you go back to the main point here, is that what's going on with these utterances? What are these 10 statements? What does this have to do with creation? What's the bigger picture message? So we have basically one question, which is, we'll have more questions coming up, but one main question is, what's this doing completely, like what are we talking about in general? And then more specifically, what's this 10 versus 1? It could have just created one with one utterance. Why 10 utterances? So the Mishnah gives an answer to its own question. Ella lehipare min harishayim shema abdina sa'olam shenivar basar ma'amaros. The reason the world was created, if we're just following the logic here, the reason the world was created with 10 utterances instead of one utterance, which it could have been created with, is in order to punish the wicked that they destroy the world, Shema Abdina Sa'olam, they are destroying the world that was created with these 10 utterances. Okay, that's the reason it was created with 10 utterances, to punish them? That really sounds petty. Right, so we're going to up the stakes, we're going to up the ante, raise the stakes, up the ante a little bit. And instead of just having one statement, which would have gotten you one punishment, now your rishus, your wickedness, not yours, but whoever that wicked person is, whatever they did, it's going to be like it's a multiplier. Instead of just one punishment, they're going to get, let's say, 10 punishments for their one sin. So not only does that sound petty, it sounds unfair. Let's say I did one thing wrong. Now you're saying, because you, God, decided to create the world with 10 utterances instead of one, I'm going to get punished more for that? That's my sin should only get one punishment. And now you're giving me extra punishments because you decided to create the world with 10 utterances? How's that fair? And more broadly speaking, what's going on here? This is seems to be a strange Mishnah. But he continues here, doesn't end off on a bad note. The liten sachar tov letzadikim shemekayim es haolam shenivar basar ma'amaros, as well as that it gives reward to the righteous that they uphold the world that was created with 10 utterances. So Rishayim destroy the world that was created with 10 utterances, and therefore get extra punishment. Righteous people hold up the world that was created with 10 utterances, so they get extra reward. What's going on here? What's the message? What do you want us to take away from this? This is not this classic style of the Mishnayos that we've had until now. Until now, we've had statements of sages. We know who the sage is. They tell us X, Y, and Z advice. There was some philosophy every once in a while that got thrown in, some nice idea about reward and punishment. But for the most part, it was ethical statements. It was about learning Torah. And all of a sudden here in the fifth chapter, style has changed. We don't know who says this. It seems to be just some sort of nice idea, troubling idea. What am I supposed to take away from this? What's really going on here? So let's start picking this apart. We're not going to be able to answer every single question and say every single thing that was said about this Mishnah, because the style of this Mishnah and the content of this Mishnah is more broad than just here's a nice idea to live your life by, an important idea to live your life by, but it goes into depths of philosophy and creation, and we might not even know exactly what we're talking about all the time as we read these commentaries. We're not going to be able to do everything, but at least to get some bullet points, to get some takeaway from this Mishnah, so that when we go back to it at some point in the future, we'll be able to say, okay, here's a nice idea that I'm going to take away from this. So we're going to start with the Abarbanel. So the Abarbanel we're using here, not to answer any questions, but to create more questions. So the Abarbanel, as he often does, breaks down the Mishnah and asks here, in what I assume is a cute way, ask 10 questions. So presumably he could have stretched it to 12. You know, if it was b'shtemesrei ma'amaros nivra olam, I assume he could have figured out two more questions and probably would have asked two more questions. If there was only 8 ma'amaros, he probably would have only asked 8 questions. But the Abarbanel likes to ask lots of questions. Here he seems to have numbered them based on the Mishnah itself. But even before he gets to his questions, he starts off and he says that there's 10 takeaways from this. So he has 10 takeaways, 10 questions, and then he analyzes it even more after that. So let's jump in a little bit. We're not going to do all of his questions and takeaways. I picked apart and took some bullet points here. So he says, Hine, source number 2, HaMishnah Zos Ba'u Ba'shlosha Chalakim. So there's 3 different parts to our Mishnah. At least it's not 10 different parts of the Mishnah. There's 3 different parts of the Mishnah. Hanacha v'koshe v'teirutz. There's assumptions, there's questions, and then there's answers. What are the assumptions? Ki hanacha hu omer basar ma'amaros nivra olam. The assumption is the world is created with 10 utterances. We'll have to pick that apart in a moment. V'koshe hi omer v'alo ma'amarechad yachol libaros. And the question part of the Mishnah is, why 10? It could have been 1. And the answer is, in order to take away from the Rishayim, punish them more, and to give reward to the Tzaddikim. V'kasher tien b'mishnah azos k'moshehi inyan ha'asara ma'amaros, kacha timsa shi kolalas asarak damos amitios. So there's 10 different starting points. What are these 10? Again, we're not going to do all of them, but let's do bullet points. Ha'achad, shenivra ha'olam. So the first thing that we learn from this Mishnah is the world was created. Seems simple, but it's important to state anyway. This is fundamentals of Jewish belief. The world was created. It wasn't here forever, as Aristotle might tell you, or as other philosophers might tell you. The world was created. We believe in creation. That's number one. Hashenus, shenivra ha'olam b'maymar. The second point is that the world was created through these utterances.
So
So God is not a construction worker. He's not a carpenter. He's not, right? There's no physical work being done. The world was created through utterances, through statements. And that's going to be important, especially if we're going to want to build up the significance of words and the significance of talking. God here is modeling for us the importance of speech, because the world was created through speech, not through action, as it were. Number three, Hashlishis. Shayu ha-ma'amaros asher niver behema olam, asara v'lo pachos v'lo yoser. This is what we focused on last week, and again, we'll briefly recap the Maharal's points shortly, but that not just the world was created, and not just it was created with utterances, but there's a significance to the fact that it was created with 10 utterances. V'lios zeh ha-minyan mekudosh hayu aspiros ha-lokis asara. And there's something significant to this 10. As we alluded to last week there, Barbanel says it might have to do with mystical, Kabbalistic reasons, the spheros, v'nemru, and this is what we focused on last week, v'nemru b'sinai asara dibros. Right, there's 10 commandments that we heard at Sinai. So there's a significance to the number 10. So that's 1, 2, and 3 takeaways. We're going to skip 4 and 5, and this is what he says by Shishis. Hashishis. So now we're getting another ikaria amuna, as it were, essential belief, is that it's not just that God created the world, but it's that God cares about what goes on in the world, and he is involved in the world. He's mashkiach b'maisa b'nei adam. He cares about what we do, and he's overviewing and overseeing what we do, whether it's for good or for bad, and that's where reward and punishment comes from. So God's not just somebody created the world, but somebody who's actively involved in the world. That's why there's reward and punishment. Skipping 7, going to 8. Hashminis she'onesh harashayim einu levad kefi avera she'asu. And here's where we're going to get a little more complicated. The punishment that the wicked get, this is what we see from the Mishnah, is not just based on what they did wrong. Aval hu kefi minyan ha'marim she'nivra olam. And there's a multiplier. There's a, you know, it's like you're playing a video game and you hit the bonus, but here you hit the wrong bonus. So your sin was worth, you know, 10 coins. You lose 10 coins, but because the world's created in 10 amaros, you lose 100 coins. So that's what we see from the Mishnah. Hachias, and then the flip of that, shatzadikim mekayim nesa olam b'tzidkasam v'yoshram. So the other thing that we learn is that, and this is the contra is true for the Rishayim, but it's that, and this was sort of inputted in the Mishnah, you might have missed it if we don't pay close attention, is that the righteous people hold up the world. Right? That was stated in this sort of offhanded way, Shemekayim Mesa Olam. The righteous get reward because they uphold the world. The wicked get punished because they are ma'abdin aslam, they destroy the world. So again, that's another thing you see from the Mishnah, is that Rishayim destroy the world, tzadikim uphold the world. And then finally, v'asira shine schar tzadikim lo yelevad kefi ha-mitzvos esher yasu ba'atzma. Again, the inverse of what happened with the Rishayim is that the righteous people get reward not just for what they did, but they get double, triple, quadruple, 10 times, whatever it is, they get more reward because the world was created with 10 ma'amaros. So that's 10 different things we take away at face value from the Mishnah. Ha'amnam kvar yiplu b'mishnah azos asar sfeikos. But not, those are the 10 things we take away, but then we have 10 questions we could ask on the Mishnah. Ki kamoshayim ma'amaros asar, v'akdam asar, yugam ken asfeikos asar. And I have to believe this was, I don't know what his mindset was when he was writing this, that he thought that there was like exactly 10 questions you can ask and 10 assumptions you could ask. And it's like, you know, hashkacha pratis, as it were, that these are, it's 10 questions, 10 assumptions, you know, but he seems to be going with that. This number 10 is going to be the recurring theme here. So what are his 10? So again, we're not going to do all 10. Let's just do a few of them. So he says, Revius, skip to the fourth. Lama lo hiksha hamaksha v'alo b'shumbay mara yachol l'baro. So we alluded to this when we started off. We said, the world was created with 10 utterances. It could have been created with one utterance. Well, it didn't have to be created with any utterances. God can do whatever he wants. So why not ask that question? Number five, Chamishas, be'omro el kedeli par min arishayim. When the Mishnah says, in order to take away from the Rishayim, Ve'ech nemar bo yisparach netira v'nekama. Again, it sounds petty. It sounds like God is taking, you know, holding a grudge against them. Oh, you're going to hurt me? I'm going to punish you even more than you deserve. Shehema pi'ilo she'iav sharshim subo. Obviously, that can't be, but that's what it sounds like. Kihemi teba chomer v'chasernos b'hem. These are material, physical personality problems. God doesn't have that. V'atori zhiras ha'adam aleyam. And besides the fact that he doesn't have it, he tells us we shouldn't have it. Lo sisnas achicha b'vavacha. We can't hate our brothers in our heart. Lo sikov lo sitor es b'nei amecha. Not to bear a grudge. V'amar v'eschu kosai tishmar. What's lomar? She'ein bo lo sina lo kina lo natir v'lo... So he's focusing here on the word lihipare, to take away from them. Should have said to punish them. Okay, we understand God punishes. The question is not that God can't punish. God punishes. But lihipare sounds like it's like a personal thing. It's like I'm getting you back for what you did to me. That's not God. God, there's consequences to what we do. We call that punishment. Lipare sounds too petty. That's question number five. Question number eight. Eich yomar atana shakadosh baruch baras ha'olam basar ma'amaros kedei lahagdil as onesh ma'abdin oso. How can it be that the author of the Mishnah is saying the world's created with 10 ma'amaros in order to give you more punishment if you're a Russia? Ve'ein zem midas ha'tov ha'metiv. That's not fair. Right? God is just. God is fair. And you're telling me that because you created the world with 10 utterances, now I get punished more? Forget about chesed, right? That's not chesed. That's not even midas adin. That's extra punishment. So God, just say one, create the world with one mimer, and then it'll be fair. What? Again, we understand consequences, we understand punishments, but you're making it worse for the Rishayim because you decided to create the world with 10 ma'amaros? V'yoser tov ha'yela bar b'ma'amar echad, k'dei sh'achot ha'ikal onshav yanesh ma'at. Create it with one and then we won't have to be punished as much. Use your midas ha'chesed. Why is this not just midas ha'din? This is midas ha'din on steroids. That's question number eight. Question number nine. Ba'omro k'dei li par min ha'rishayim, sh'ma'abden ha'olam sh'nivar ba'asar ma'amaros. V'hu avol gadol lama yipra min arashayim v'fi cheshbon asar ma'amaros v'heim lo avdu elo olam shava ma'amar echad v'im haya v'him hu yisal aratz v'harbos b'ma'arim ein zem mutal arasha v'gam lo atzadik kim Reuven gazol kli mishimon v'avdu. So here he's saying, let's say Reuven steals something from Shimon and then loses it. V'akli ba'atzma lo yashav v'kim din arachad. The thing he stole was worth $10. Afa pisha Shimon Yomar Shapazim Ramona Vekano Sobasara Dinarin. Even if, I'm not going to translate the exact numbers here because I already said the thing's worth $10. Shimon says, I paid $100 for it. So does Reuven have to pay Shimon $100 or $10? Worth $10. Shimon paid $100 for it. When Reuven steals it and loses it, what does he have to pay back? $10 or $100? Pay back $10. I don't care. You wasted your money and got ripped off. So, same thing here. If my aver is worth $1, and you decided that, you know, God, you know, you're gonna pay $10 for it, or so it's only worth $1. You can't make me pay $10 for it. So it doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem right, and it doesn't follow the laws that we would do down here. Then finally, the 10th question. Lama kamosh amar b'tzadik v'liten schar tov v'tzadik im lomar kezeh alashon b'rishon liten gmul ra l'rishayim. This is a little bit of a nuanced point, but the language changes from schar. So when it comes to the Rishayim, it's lihipara, to take away, and then it goes to reward. So in Hebrew, the opposites would be schar and onesh. That's how you would want it to say. You want to say El Lehanesh Min Arashayim Shema Adonis Olam, or Li Ten Schar, Schar and Onesh. He's arguing here Li Pare and Schar aren't exact opposites with each other. I don't want to get too grammatical for now, but that's his tenth question. Maybe we should have just skipped that one because it's not to the main point for now. So he says here, he sums up Hare Lecha Bizeh Asaras. Those 10 different questions you could ask. I'm going to explain to you all of them. Now, for our sakes now, we're not going to go through how the Abar Banel explains all of them, because if you can imagine, he had 10 assumptions to begin with and then 10 questions. His answer, he doesn't frame his answers as 10 answers, but his answer is really long. And he goes through a whole big analysis of what he thinks this Mishnah means, where, you know, for the sake of our own clarity and time, we can't go through that right now. But I'm going to pull out one line that I think is important. If you remember, for those who've been with us for a long time, the Abar Banel is the main commentator who makes the following methodological move. And I would open it up for you guys to answer. You could type it in the chat if you want, but don't unmute yourselves for now. The Abar Banel's methodological move as he moves through Pirkei Avos is, that laser is doing hand motions, he's got it, is that he connects the theme of an entire chapter together. Meaning, for the most part, commentaries say that each Mishnah has some sort of internal connection to it. That's not always true, but usually one Mishnah has an internal theme within it. Other commentaries expand and say that Mishnahs that are juxtaposed, that are connected to each other, they also have some sort of connection, and because of that, they elaborate on what the message between connecting one Mishnah and the next is, and that's something that we usually do. We usually try to connect different Mishnayos together. What the Abar Banel does is that he argues that not only are Mishnayos connected to each other when they're next to each other, but that the whole each chapter has a running theme. And he then interprets those Mishnayos in that chapter based on that theme. So the theme for chapter is as follows. The theme is, V'rishona hodiacha, ki hakavana hakolelas bezeh haperek hachamishi hi lahagir shehaolam lo nivra ela lechvod Hashem v'hu tachlis kavanas briyaso. The purpose of the world is to increase the honor of God. That's the purpose of creation. Again, let's read that again. That sounds like an important thing to say. Shehaolam lo nivra ela lechvod Hashem. The world was created for the purpose of honoring God, v'hu tachlis kavanas briyaso, and that's the purpose of creation. Now that's definitely sounds like a big thing to say, sounds like a big line, so we want to underline that and we'll have to come back to that in future Mishnayos to see if that holds up, how each other Mishnah is coming to teach us about the Kvod Hashem. But just reflecting on this, I want us to not take this for granted. This is a paradigm shift in what we've been talking about in Pirkei Avos until this point. We're moving from practical ethical considerations or Talmud Torah considerations of how to learn better, how to have better midos, how to balance your work and your religious pursuits. And now all of a sudden we're getting more philosophical, as it were. Right? We're getting more big picture, abstract concepts are being inputted into Pirkei Avos. This is now about why was the world created for the sake of honoring God, and now there's going to be an outgrowth of what we're going to learn from that. So don't forget that as we read these next bunch of Mishnayos, the shift isn't, you know, the emphasis isn't necessarily going to be on what do I learn for my own life to become a better person, like we've been asking until now, and basically with every Mishnah. We still might be able to do that, and we might want to do that, but we're going to have to work a little bit harder, because it's not as explicit, it's not as clear. These Mishnayos are more abstract, more philosophical. Okay, so that leaves us
leads us into the Maharal. This is what we did last week. We're not going to read it all inside. I'm just going to review what the main point was. One thing the Maharal does is he says, and this sort of answers a lot of the questions that we asked. He says that the Mishnah is not saying that the world was created, even though it sounds like this, it's not saying the world was created with 10 utterances because God wanted to punish the Rasha'im more and wanted to reward the righteous more. Even though it sounds like that, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. Why is that not what the Mishnah is saying? Partially because of all the questions the Abarbanel asked. It sounds like a really weird thing for the Mishnah to say and problematic. Religiously problematic, hashkafically problematic, to think of God as somebody who's doing, I'm creating the world with 10 utterances in order to punish people. Doesn't sound right. And therefore the Maharal, it's part of the reason the Maharal says, that's not what the Mishnah means. Instead, what the Mishnah means, and what the Mishnah emphasizes, is the importance of this number 10. Right? And for those who were here last week, that's what the Maharal emphasizes over and over and over again. What's the significance of the number 10? There's a reason why the world was created with this number 10. And the main point was that number 10 represents Kedusha, sanctity, holiness. God is with the number 10. The Shekhinah is with number 10. And then we went into, remember, the deeper significance of the numbers, that Yud represents spirituality, He is a combination of physical and spiritual, the Dalet and the Yud together, and that our purpose of our function in the world is to balance this physicality and spirituality in one. It's not a bifurcated, separate, completely spiritual world, and then there's a physical world, and they can't meet, they can't connect. Our purpose is to connect those two in complicated ways, because they are separate on some level, but they're connected on another level, and because of that, that's the goal of this world, is to connect our spiritual and our physical, our neshama and our guf. That's the Aseres Hadibros, the five bein adam lachavero, five bein adam lamakom, etc. So that was the purpose of the number 10. So now what I want to do, after we recap the Maharal, see the Abarbanel's questions, is really focus on two points for this Mishnah. If you're looking, as I started off, for a comprehensive answer to all the Abarbanel's questions, I'm not giving it to you. Partially because it would just take too long, partially because I'm not sure I fully understand all of it. But what I want to do is I want to take away two things that I think will be relevant for us that flow forth from this Mishnah. And that first one, it we'll see in sources 4 and 5. Source 4 is the Avos Rabbi Nassan. The Avos Rabbi Nassan, as we mentioned, we haven't quoted in a while, but we mentioned all the way in the beginning, is a source that comes from Chazal. So it was from, usually when we read commentaries, it's from medieval commentaries, modern commentators, you know, starting in the 12th century, 13th century, going down, you know, to the 18th, 19th, 20th century. What Avos Rabbi Nassan is that it parallels in time period to the Mishnah, maybe a little bit later post-Mishnah, in that it collects statements of the sages that have to do with Pirkei Avos, that connect to Pirkei Avos, but it's a very early commentary, as it were, on Pirkei Avos. It could even be, some argue it's not a commentary, but it's almost parallel. So this is an early source. So how does Avos Rabbi Nassan frame this fifth chapter here? So it says as follows: Basar ma'amaros nivra olam, v'chi matzarech levay olam b'chach, el lamdecha shekola osa mitzvah achas, v'chol ha-mishamer Shabbos echad, v'chol ha-mekayim achas mi-Yisrael, ma'alel ha-vakasov kilu kiyam olam malosh nivra basar ma'amaros. So what the Avos Rabbi Nassan does here is a very powerful move. He asks, why do I need to know this? V'chi matzarech levay olam b'chach. Why are you telling this to me? Again, this is philosophical. This is abstract. Don't bother me. It's Sunday morning. It's not, you know, it's 9:15. Don't give me these abstract. But why are you telling me this? Ella, what's the point? L'lamdecha shekol ha'osa mitzvah achas. Every mitzvah that we do, V'chol ha-mishamer Shabbos Echad, every Shabbos you keep. V'chol ha-mekayim nefesh achas mi-Yisrael, every life you save. Ma'ala alav ha-kasav ki'ilu kiyam olam malish nivar basar ma'maros. That is as if you are upholding the entire world that was created with these 10 ma'maros. The point of the Mishnah, according to Avos Rabbi Nasan, is just to emphasize that everything we do is important. Every mitzvah we do is important. Every life we heal, we save, we help is important. And it's not just important, it's as if you're creating and upholding the entire world. And then on the flip, V'chola over avera achas, v'chola mechal Shabbos echad, v'chola ma'aved nefesh achas mi'Yisrael, ma'lav akasav kilu ivet olamale shenivar basar ma'maros. And if you do the flip, every sin we do, it's destruction. It's destroying the world. And then as Avos Rabbi Nasan often does, brings examples from Tanakh. So Shekein Matzina Bekayin, Shargas Hevel Achiv, Shemar Kol Demei Achicha, Tzoakim Elai. So it brings an example from Kain, kills Hevel. It's a whole world destroyed. Dam Echad, Shafach Damim Rabim Nemar. But it says many, we could analyze this more, but we're gonna pause that source here. The Rambam brings this idea out. Source number 5. Va'amnam yichad mamar l'chol inyan l'hodia. Godel ze hametzius v'tov sidro v'shemafsido mafsid davar gadol u'mitakno yitakin davar gadol. The point of the Mishnah, big picture. Don't get lost in the 10 questions and the 20 questions and all that stuff. The big picture is that this is really important stuff. Right? The Mishnah is saying, yeah, it could have been one, but it's 10. And what does that show? That just shows that we're dealing with important things here. When you do something bad, you're mafsid davar gadol. It's a lot on the line. Umitakno yitakin davar gadol. And when you do something good and you fix something, you're fixing something great. Rotze lomar shemafsido misha yafsid nafsho asher biyadol takno lafsido ki ilu hu tachlis ha'achoron michlal matzias asher amar bo asar ma'maros kemoshe baron psichos chibarno zed. Again, there's a lot on the line. That's what the Mishnah is trying to say. You might think that your daily life, the things you do, the daily grind, it is not that important. My mitzvos, my averos, not that important. Everything we do has importance to it. On the positives and on the negatives. That can be, on the one hand, very inspiring on the positive side, right? When we highlight and accentuate all the positive things we can do and how it really does have an impact and has a big effect. On the negative side, so it can both be a motivation to avoid sinning, right? Things that we do have consequences, bigger consequences than we realize and that we think about. We think about it on a one-to-one correspondence, but it's not on a one-to-one correspondence. There is more on the line. It's a 10-to-1 correspondence, as it were. So that's hopefully motivates us, scares us enough to avoid those things that we should be avoiding. Yet, I do want to emphasize on the flip, even though this doesn't seem to be what the Mishnah is saying, is that there's a danger to that type of thinking, a psychological danger, where we can just become despondent, right? That concept that everything we do is important can be motivating, and it could also be almost too big a burden to bear. And sometimes we just want to relax, and we don't want to think about how everything's really, really important. So I would say there has to be a balance here to realize that we have power to do more than we can. And when we do that more, we are in effect accomplishing more than we think we are. And that when we do something wrong, there is an impact. And it's not the right move to just brush it off and to say, it's not such a big deal. It is a big deal. But we have to healthily balance that where we don't say like, oh my gosh, I just did an avera. I just destroyed the world. Right? So let me go into bed and cry for a week. Right? That's not a healthy response. So we want to keep that in mind. So that's point number one. Point number one is everything we do has significance, both on the flip and on the negative. I would say it's interesting if you want to analyze this a little bit. our Mishnah started off with the negative and then ended off with the positive. Right? The Rishayim get 10, you know, because it was created with 10, they get more punishment. The Tzaddikim get more reward. Avos Rabbi Nassim starts with the Tzaddikim, the positive things you can do, and then goes to the negative. So is it, you know, is there a significance to that? I mean, do you want to start off with the positive and end with the negative, or start with the negative and end with the positive? The other thing I would point out is that the Avos Rabbi Nassim doesn't, I think is an important move, doesn't label Tzaddikim and Rishayim. Our Mishnah labels it as being righteous and wicked. The Avos Rabbi Nassim doesn't say righteous and wicked. It focuses on actions. Kola ose mitzvah achas. So let's say I'm a Rasha, as it were, and I do my mitzvah achas. So that sort of splits the two sources here. So I'm a Rasha, but I do a mitzvah achas. So according to Avos Rabbi Nassim, I'm focusing on the action. I did my mitzvah achas. My mitzvah achas is being mekayim the world. My avera achas is going to destroy the world. Our Mishnah focuses on the broad global judgment or evaluation of a person based on Tzaddik and Rasha. So there's probably a lot there to deal with, and a lot to delve into. Do you focus on the total judgment, or do you focus on the action? I tend to lean towards the action. I like phrasing it that way. It's more, in my mind, more empowering, as it were, and less judgmental, because I don't know who a tzaddik is, I don't know who a rasha is, but I do know what a mitzvah is, and I do know what an avera is. So I can do more mitzvos and stay away from more averos without having to label myself as a tzaddik or a rasha. So that's point number one takeaway. And here's point number two takeaway. This really was a very nice idea for last Sunday, because it was Rosh Chodesh, before Shavuos. But we'll have to survive as a late idea, but still an important one. So Tana Rabbanan, starting off with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says, B'shishi b'chodesh nitnu aseres hadibros liYisrael. One opinion is that the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shiva bo. There's another opinion that's actually given on the seventh day. So I'm not sure if you're aware of that. We usually think about it as the sixth day, but it's actually a dispute in the Gemara if the Torah was given on the sixth or the seventh day of Sivan. So Amar Rava says, Dekule Alma Berosh Chodesh Asu Lamidbar Sinai. So regardless of whether or not you think that the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan, on the seventh day of Sivan, everybody agrees that when did they get to Sinai, Midbar Sinai? On Rosh Chodesh. As the Pasuk says, in the third month after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So everybody agrees, whether sixth or seventh day, on Rosh Chodesh they came to Sinai. So now, and he brings a textual proof of that. We're not going to focus on that for the current moment. So with this idea that they came to Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, let's see an idea. This is from a sefer I quoted to you a few years ago. It's somewhere on my desk here. I don't see it this second. But it's a compilation of sources from various Musar masters over the past 150 years or so. So this one is quoted from Rabbeinu Yerucham HaLevi, where he asked the following. It says, Uparech al zeh b'gemara. I assume you can see my cursor here. It's on the right-hand side by the bays. Uparach al zeh b'gemara Rosh Hashanah. Hai ninhu vayomer debereshes tisha havu. This is something we alluded to last week. You talk about 10 statements. So where are these 10 statements? So if you look through the psukim, so it depends how you count these and what your numbers are. But the Gemara's assumption is there's only 9 counts. There's only 9 utterances. So where do you get 10 from? Umitaretz bereshes nami mamarhu. Bereshis, even though it's not a vayomer, which is a mimer, a statement, the concept of Bereshis bar Elokim is considered a statement. Dichsiv bedvar Hashem shemayim nasu, ayim b'sefer dechayim, shehiksha chimachet Bereshis nami mimerhu, imkein lama loksiv efo vayomer Elokim yihi shemayim va'aretz. So basically what we want to start off with is that The concept of Bereshis is considered a mimer. So we want to develop this idea. Why is Bereshis, what's the significance of Bereshis, that word Bereshis in the beginning, of that being a statement in utterance, if it's not using the term Vayomer, Ma'amar, statement. So V'navi b'zeh, mima shekasav Rabbeinu Yerucham HaLevi, Dine Amru Zal Kol Tainis Shelo Kibel Alav Mibo Yom Lav Shmei Tainis. We have a concept that any fast day that you did not accept upon yourself the day before is not considered a fast day. Now, just to clarify, this is talking about non-public fast days. So if there's a public fast day where we all know that this is a fast day and this is something that we do every year, you don't have to accept that upon yourself. But let's say it's a random day and you want to take upon yourself a fast for whatever reason. The only way for that fast to be effective is if you accepted it upon yourself the day before, saying, tomorrow I am going to fast. Okay, so that's a rule, that's a halacha. Hare, sha'afa pisha hisane kol ayom. Let's say I didn't. Right, so I didn't say to myself the day before, I'm going to fast tomorrow. And then I fast the whole day. Tomorrow I fast. Vayashari b'taniso l'shem tainis. And I thought, as I was doing it, I'm doing this for a fast. Not just like, you know, I woke up, I was so busy, I didn't get to eat. You know, I missed breakfast, I missed lunch, it's already 5 o'clock. Might as well wait an hour and say, oh, I fasted today, get some brownie points. No, we're not even talking about that. That would be cheating. Right, but even if I got up, and from the second I got up, I said, I'm not gonna have my coffee this morning, I'm not gonna have my breakfast, I'm gonna fast today, and I fast the whole day. If I didn't accept it upon myself the day before, it's not considered a fast. Becholzos im lo kiblo mi bojom einu nachshavas l'klum. It's nothing. You did nothing. V'tam ha'inyan hu. You might have lost a little weight, but that's about it. Not healthy way of doing it. V'tama inyanu. Why is this true? Ki kabbalas hatainis hi ha-hatchala shel hatainis atzma. The acceptance of the fast the day before is the beginning of the fast. Even though you're not technically fasting yet, but you stating that I'm going to fast tomorrow is the beginning, is the starting of that fast. U'mizeh naskila das ki soda davar hu shekol davar v'davar ton hatchala hamuchenes lo. Everything we do needs a beginning. It needs a starting point. Aval bilti hatchala rishona ein yisod la davar ve'ein be'efshrus oliskayim. Without that starting point, it's not gonna work. V'navina in al derech zeh. I'll explain it to you with the following metaphor. Dehine kishabonim binyan hari milvada binyan atzma. When I'm building a building, besides for the building, hakrashim alavanim akoros etc. All the materials that I need to build a building. I need a foundation for the building. It's not part of the building itself, it's the foundation. It's separate. It's still the most important part. It holds it up. It sustains it. The stronger the foundation, the stronger the building is going to be. This is relevant to any beginning. The beginning, now not just in terms of building foundation, but in terms of a temporal time foundation to something that I am going to do, that hatchala, that beginning, is the foundation. Without that foundation, there's no building. If you didn't start the tainus the day before, meaning you didn't have the proper building, the proper foundation, the building of your fast is meaningless. He says, that's why most of us fail at what we do. Very stark terms. But that's why a lot of us, let's tone it down a little bit. That's why a lot of times we don't succeed in our pursuits. Ela anu oskim tamid bebinias binyanim kli laniach esay yisod. We spend our time and we're busy, we're doing things, but we didn't lay the foundation down first. V'lachin v'adai she'en l'zekim, and that's why it doesn't work. The most important thing to do is to start off right and to have the foundation steady. And that's going to help us in everything that we do in terms of our own successes and failures in life. So now with this starting point, what does that do with our Mishnah? Lefi dvarenu, navin hetev, we're in the last column all the way on the left. Asher kol abriya nikra b'shem maisa bereishis. That's why everything, the starting point is, and we call everything, maisa bereishis. The beginning, the creation, beginning of creation, or the act of beginning of creation. Ki ikar ha'ikarim hu ha'reishis. Ha'atchala, the essence of everything is the beginning, is the reishis. Uvachein, matzinu shiyom atchalas hachodesh nikra b'toras rosh. And that's why Rosh Chodesh is called Rosh, the head. Vachein, reishis, Rosh. Vachein, b'chol makom, matzinu shatora ose kezeh ta'alucha mireishis. Kizeh sod inyan shel ha'atchala. Everything is about reishis, the beginning, the starting point. He is sodo shel kol davar. It's the basis, it's a foundation. Uvezet toloi kiyumo, and that it's on that that everything stands. He elaborates a little bit more, but I think we have enough for now. The takeaway that Rav Yerucham that they connect from this Mishnah and from the starting point of why was the world created with these 10 ma'amaros. And what's the first mamar? The first mamar is Bereishis. Is that everything starts from the beginning. Everything starts with how we plan and how we add or support the beginnings of our actions so that the things that come after it don't just fall flat. We don't fall flat on our face. And the reason why I think last week this was an important message, but I still think it's an important message. Last week was an important message because last week was Rosh Chodesh. And remember, according to the Gemara, everybody agreed that whether it was the sixth or the seventh day, we came to the mountain on Rosh Chodesh. And that's the Hatchala. The beginning is when we come to the mountain. We come, and every Rosh Chodesh is a beginning that we can solidify our foundation to work on ourselves and to improve ourselves. But I would take it one step, last step further. And that is that in Judaism, one of the main concepts is that there's always a fresh start. We can always start from scratch. Right? Rosh Chodesh is just a paradigm to show, it's not just Rosh Hashanah, it's not just once a year that we review our actions. And every Rosh Chodesh is an opportunity to do that. But it's not just every Rosh Chodesh. Every day is a Bereishis. Every day, right, God recreates the world. As we say in Davin, Mechadesh Betuva B'chol Yom Tamid. He recreates the world every single day, every single second. It's a new world, new world, new world. Okay, so that's a concept that's hard to fully grasp. It's abstract. That's really what our Mishnah is. Our Mishnah is an abstract concept. Well, what's the takeaway? The takeaway for me is that every second I can restart. I can start from scratch. And if I'm going to start from scratch, I need to lay that foundation and I need to pay attention to the starting point. And really, this ties in to the first message that we took from the Avos Rabbi Nassim, is that everything I do, I have the ability to create worlds, to uphold worlds. And if I want to do that correctly, I need to think through how important my time is, how important my actions are. But it's not just about getting up and saying, okay, now I'm going to do, now I'm going to do, now I'm going to do. What's my game plan? Let me sit down with a pen and paper. Let me talk to a mentor. Let me talk to and make a game plan. How can I improve? How can I do better? And how am I going to structure my day and my life and my everything I do around that game plan? So it's not just about having a thought, and it's not just about even doing. It's about planning. And when we keep in mind that everything we do has significance, and that we have tremendous potential, and that we always can start from scratch, I think regardless of all the details and the nuances and the 10 questions and the 10 answers and all that stuff that Mitch is talking about, we have something to practically take away with it.